Good morning. It's 1 minute before 9 o'clock. This is KFFR, Winter Park Community Radio for the Fraser Valley and the headwaters of the Colorado River at 88.3 FM and streaming worldwide at KFFR.org. Time now for the KFFR Corona cast for this beautiful Friday morning. It is May 22nd. I'm Steve Skinner. Increasing clouds today with a high near 67. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Low around 36. Tomorrow, 30% chance of showers in the afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny and a high near 65 degrees. For Sunday, chance of rain and snow before 8 a.m., then rain showers for sure. And that chance is 90%, high near 50 on Sunday. So get out there and enjoy the day today if you get a chance. Okay, I have got some numbers to share with you this morning, starting with international data. It is refreshing on my screen right now. So in the world, there have been 5,234,100 confirmed cases of COVID-19. So far, 335,729 deceased, 45,499 are currently critical. There are 2,849,727 active cases of COVID-19 right now. And we have 2,112,080 recovered. In the U.S., there are 1,611,297 confirmed cases of COVID since it began, and that is up 4.119%. Deceased in the United States, 95,213. Current critical cases, 17,907. Active cases, 1,207,459. Looking at state data for you, this is from COVID19.colorado.gov. Just a quick look. We have 23,191 cases since the pandemic began. 4,037 people were hospitalized so far. Some of those have been dismissed, obviously. 60 counties reporting active cases. We have 139,937 people tested, 1,310 deaths among cases, and 1,062 of those have been directly linked to COVID-19, with 256 outbreaks throughout the state. Coming up, we're going to have an interview with Alexis Kimbrough. She's the communications manager for Grand County. We're going to talk about the census. Just hearing that Grand County is way behind in replying to the census, and we're at about 10%, and a lot of other counties are up in the 40s to 50%. Of course, COVID-19 has thrown everything in a tizzy, but I do have an interview with Alexis that kind of outlines the reasons why you might want to participate in the census. We'll also be checking in with Rich Cimino before the weekend. He is a Grand County County Commissioner, and he'll be telling us the very latest data from the COVID-19 response team. And we'll be speaking with Joanna Goodman coming up at the bottom of the hour about how to entertain yourself with live music during COVID-19. Keep it right here on KFFR. We'll be right back with Alexis Kimbrough. Good morning. Thank you.
I'm speaking with Alexis Kimbrough, the communications coordinator and chair of Grand County's Complete County Committee for the 2020 U.S. Census. And it is coming up very, very soon. But before we get into some of the mechanics and why people should take the census, can you just give us a historical outline of what the U.S. Census is?
The U.S. Census started in 1790, and it happens every 10 years. And it is mandated by the U.S. Constitution.
So what's the original idea? Why did they want to count everybody in the 1700s?
Well, initially, it's so that every single person in the United States had accurate representation. And so to make sure that they understood how many people were here, they started the census so that when they would go through and see what the population was every 10 years, they could redraw state lines or districting lines in the state and the federal Senate.
So the dynamics of collecting that data has really changed.
Yes, very much.
Several times since we were like sending out couriers with yeah. Wells Fargo to now we're using digital technology and whatnot. But it's still a lot of it depends on seeing someone face to face, doesn't it?
Yes. So the weird thing about this census is it's the first time that they're able to respond online. So now with technology improving, they've realized that they don't always have to go see people face to face, but our county, they do, very much so.
Well, let's talk a little bit about counting Grand County and what that looks like. What do you need to do to count everybody in Grand County?
Well, the first thing is the invitations to respond are only sent to houses, not P.O. boxes. So within Grand County, the invitations to respond will not be sent to anybody's P.O. box. So they have to go house to house, street to street, and deliver these invitations by hand.
That's just because of the way the Postal Service is set up here, right? Because, you know, I live somewhere, the post office won't deliver to my home. It'll deliver to my P.O. box.
Yeah, well, it has a lot to do with, like, the way the streets are and the hazards of sending people out. It'll all be delivered by hand.
Talking to Alexis Kimbrough, running the local U.S. Census effort for 2020. And we're talking about collecting data for every single person in Grand County. So almost all of your data collection will be happening the old-fashioned way then. In a way, because you'll be delivering these to people's houses, right?
Well, yes, but the way to respond is people can still respond online by mail or by phone. Just the way that the invitations are delivered to you will differ.
Now, does the invitation include the actual census?
Yes.
People get this invitation. It does include the census itself. They can fill it out and mail it back in, or then they can also go online and fill it out, or over the phone? How does it work over the phone?
So over the phone, and they'll just ask you the
You talk to
questions.
A person? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you just answer, because on the physical copy, you fill in boxes, or you write, you know, what your gender is, how many people are staying in your home. They don't ask you personal questions, like what your name is or what your social security number is. Yeah. It's solely just gender, how many people live in your home, and your race. So this data is all used for statistical reasons and can legally only be used for statistical reasons.
Alexis Kimbrough, how many questions are on the U.S. Census form? Do you know, roughly?
Seven.
Seven. So a very simple survey. Only takes
yes,
a minute.
Yes. Very, very easy.
I know there was some controversy about asking people their legal status, their immigration status. That got left off the census, didn't it?
Correct, and rightfully so, because the thing about it is it doesn't matter if you're here legally or not. You're here.
Even if you don't like the government, you might want to take the census because it means essentially less potholes on your road.
Or yeah.
There's a lot of services that come,
kind
of hidden services from living here in the U.S. of A. that people don't always think about. So your job is to really make sure you have an accurate count, right?
Yeah, well, and working for Grand County, I've realized just how much funding comes from the federal government. Things like human services and public health. A lot of their funding is received from the feds, which is distributed based on this census. And so, you know, if this is inaccurate, then they get inaccurate funding.
Can you talk at all about what kind of funding, what kind of money we're talking about?
An estimate is that for every person that's not counted is $1,500 a year. So over 10 years, because the census happens every 10 years, that's $15,000 we'll miss out in federal funding per person that is uncounted. Right. And that means anybody from a newborn baby to in your deathbed.
Is there any good reason not to take the census?
A lot of people are really nervous about the idea that you're giving information to the government.
Right.
And if you don't trust the government, of course that's going to make someone nervous. Mm-hmm. But this information, especially for the U.S. Census Bureau, cannot be shared with anybody. By the Constitution, it's written in the Constitution that this data can only be used for statistical reasons. And it doesn't get shared. And if it does, I was talking to our partner who works for the census. They have to take an oath, and if they break that oath, it's like 5 to 10 years in federal prison just for sharing this information, because very protected.
This is a really exotic job that you have, Alexis Kimbrough, because it's a once every 10-year effort. Now, are you working for the county? Or are you working for the U.S. feds? Or actually, where did this job come from that you have?
So I'm the communications coordinator for Grand County.
Okay.
And the U.S. Census Bureau reached out to our county about helping them promote and educate local communities about this census. And so being the communications coordinator, I decided to take on that role and to help promote and really to educate. I'm 25 years old, so 10 years ago I was 15 years old and I had no idea what a census was. And even about a year ago, I was like, the census, what? I have no idea what that is.
Right.
But the more I read and the more I learned about it, the more I understood, whoa, this thing is really important.
Especially for each and every county.
Yeah. Well, and even if I wasn't working in government, just the idea that this 5-minute survey could mean the difference between my cousin getting proper education or not, or the difference between, like you said earlier, a pothole in the road, or getting good health care in my local community. Like, it really makes all the difference. And on top of that, having proper representation. A lot of people feel like they don't trust the government because they feel like they don't have a voice. But if we had proper representation, then maybe that could start to change little by little. And it's whatever we can do as a single person, but collectively, that we could start seeing change within our own communities.
Well, hopefully you'll get the word out and people will understand the importance, regardless of their political affiliations.
Yeah. Well, and the survey doesn't even ask what your political affiliation is.
It seems like it would be a pretty easy thing for most people to participate in.
If it comes in the mail or it's hand-delivered, people get busy. And people just don't think that, oh, I'll do it later. Or, you know, life is happening in the midst of everything that can just distract people. But this could affect your life in very real ways, but positive ways.
Alexis, tell us about how you count people that are kind of in the shadows, like people living in RVs or homeless, or those people count too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
How does that work?
They begin starting with those in shelters, and then they'll move to people like soup kitchens or mobile housing.
Yeah.
And then from there, starting in April, they'll go to people who are non-sheltered or outdoor locations, such as tents or living on the streets. As I've been talking with our partner with the U.S. Census Bureau, I've let them know, you know, we have a population that is homeless. And working with people here locally who know who those people are, and just making them aware of I know that there's a population. This is where we think that they are. And then people within our community can help the U.S. Census Bureau in defining those people, because I mean, counting those people is extremely important, especially when we go back to talking about the funding. I mean, this funding can go towards housing and SNAP benefits and things like that.
Right. When census workers go out and they deliver to the homes, they leave the census there. And then if they're encountering the homeless population or something else, somebody living in their tent or their van or whatever, do they just take that data right then?
Yeah, and then that way that they know that it's accurate, it's done, and they don't have to worry about putting that burden on that person to figure out how to respond. They just do it right there.
What about privacy and those kinds of things? You don't put your name on there. Is there any risk at all? Or is there any risk of this data being used nefariously in any way?
No, not at all. So the information, it's secure from responding, from mailing it in, or doing it online or by phone. All the information is protected. It cannot be used publicly, and it cannot be sold to companies.
One other question about collecting the data. If I haven't received a census invitation and, you know, I live in a hippie commune, let's say, can I take the census without getting that invitation? How's that going to work?
No. So in order to respond to the census, the invitation itself has a number. And that number is associated with the resident or the location of your residence.
I see.
So using that number, it allows the U.S. Census Bureau to ensure that that residence was counted. And so what the U.S. Census Bureau is doing right now is they're canvassing to find all of the places of residency and adding addresses to it so that when they do hand deliver these invitations, if it is whatever, a home, an apartment complex, a mobile home park, mm-hmm. they have that data and they're going to deliver an invitation.
Let's say I slip through the cracks, then they don't find my address. They don't find me. I've never been invited, but it's getting towards the deadline. Is there any way for me to take the census?
I would say yes. I would say you just let someone know that, hey, I haven't gotten this, and reach out to the U.S. Census Bureau directly.
Okay.
And say, hey, this is where I live. I need to respond. And I mean, I can give you someone who would make that happen.
There's a lot of surveys that you encounter everywhere you go in your life these days. You know, you buy a cup of coffee and 5 minutes later you get a text saying, how was your experience, rated from 1 to 5? So, you know, people may be just slightly overwhelmed with surveys and things, but this is one of those surveys that should rise to the top of people's list, because it's so essential that our county get counted and that we actually get that federal funding, because it's going to go somewhere else if it doesn't go here, right?
If we're not counted, because it's distributed. But, you know, this is one of those surveys that isn't, you know, not today survey. It's actually a law that everybody has to partake.
I'm talking to Alexis Kimbrough. She is the communications director for Grand County and also our liaison with the U.S. Census, which is coming. What's the deadline? When are these censuses need to be counted?
So the deadline to respond is July 31st. However, people can start responding to the census around the end of March, the beginning of April. Because these are all hand-delivered, then it'll probably be more towards the end of March that people start getting invitations.
So those will be popping onto people? What, do they just leave them on the door or whatever?
They'll knock first to see if anybody is there, and if nobody is there, then yes, they will leave them on the door.
Okay. Talk about the census takers themselves. Are there employment opportunities throughout Grand County to collect this data or deliver the invitations?
Yes. So the U.S. Census Bureau is hiring census takers at the moment. If you go to 2020census.gov/jobs, they'll have all the job descriptions there for you to apply, et cetera. And then the county also has a temporary full-time position for an outreach coordinator that would help me directly with education and promotion. When it comes to counting people, who to count, anybody that lives underneath the same roof as you needs to be counted. So if that means that someone's staying on your couch, or you have, you know, a friend that stays with you half of the year, or, you know, if you have 20 people under the same roof, every single person needs to be counted from the age of zero to however old they are. And then in addition, if you are not a full-time resident, the rule of thumb is that if you live here 6 months and a day, then count yourself in this county.
I see. What about, I know you asked, you said that the census asks questions about your gender, for example, and I know that there's it's been a big shift in how people identify themselves. There's gender fluidity, there's trans, there's a lot of different ways people like to be described these days. Is that accommodated in the census, or do you just got boy, girl?
Unfortunately, it is not. It is male and female. So for race, it allows you to pick white, black, or African-American, American Indian, or Alaskan Native. And then it also provides Chinese, Filipino, Asian Indian, Vietnamese, Korean, Japanese, Native Hawaiian, Samoan, or other. And then within other, you can write whatever you wish. Okay. And then under certain ones, you can be more specific about, you know, like what kind of white, German, Irish, English, Italian, and then, you know, what kind of black or African American, Nigerian, Jamaican, Haitian, etc. So it allows you to be very specific.
Okay, that's really interesting. Alexis, what else do people need to know? They know the census is coming. You have some kind of event happening?
I do have an event going on April 5th, Sunday, April 5th, that'll happen at the Headwaters Center, where if you have an invitation to respond, you can come and respond at this event and get, you know, a grab bag of free stuff, have a drink, bring your kids, hang out. It's just a place where it allows a public option to respond if you don't have a way to respond. And then there's lots of free stuff. So
wow.
That's always fun.
That sounds like a really good way. If you still have questions about taking the survey and you're just not sure yet, you can go there and talk to representatives and have your questions answered and then fill out your survey, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that way, you know, I want to encourage people to do this, but I don't want to make people who feel uncomfortable, like, say, no, you like, do it or not. By law, it's required, but I also want to make people feel comfortable and educate them on why it's so important.
Okay. So I like the idea of being able to go to a place to fill in your survey and actually celebrate being a citizen or just being here.
Yeah.
So that's April 5th at the Headwaters Center in Winter Park. What are the hours, do you know?
I'll probably start at around 1 and end around 7.
Thank you very much, Communications Director for Grand County. That's Alexis Kimbrough talking about the U.S. Census. Now go out there and get counted.
And you can do that online at 2020census.gov. That's 2020census.gov. It takes about 2 minutes. Might fix a pothole in your very own road. 24 minutes after 9 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Steve Skinner with your KFFR CoronaCast. A couple of stories out of the Colorado Sun this morning. One that's pretty big. How Colorado lawmakers closed a $3 billion shortfall to balance the budget and why it led to tears. This is by John Frank, came out this morning. The Joint Budget Committee finalized how to spend $11 billion in discretionary spending ahead of the legislative session's restart. To address a $3 billion shortfall, Colorado lawmakers made a series of drastic spending cuts and moved close to finalizing a state budget battered by the coronavirus and the paralyzed economy. The Legislative Budget Committee on Thursday cut $448 million from K-12 education, a 10% cut compared to a year ago. The actual cut is closer to $577 million for school districts, in part from increased costs this year. Earlier in the week, lawmakers slashed $493 million from the state's colleges and universities, a total that represents 58% of the higher education budget. In addition, the committee approved a 5% reduction, totaling $111 million, in the set-aside for state employee salaries may lead to furloughs, eliminating vacant positions or hiring freezes. The draft spending plan also is predicated on forthcoming legislation that will remove unspecified tax breaks to generate about $100 million in new revenue. Senator Dominic Moreno, a top Democratic budget writer, said the committee didn't want to cut education, but given that it accounts for 40% of the state's discretionary budget, quote, "we simply are incapable of balancing this budget without any changes," end quote. "We have held out just about as long as we could," the Commerce City lawmaker said, "and we have made painful reductions in every department with the bipartisan goal that we minimize as much as possible the impacts of K-12 education." The size of the budget shortfall in Colorado is unprecedented, 25% of current spending, and it took the Joint Budget Committee 3 weeks to make the necessary cuts to balance the budget. Also in the Colorado Sun this morning, this is another very interesting story about the Postal Service. Denver health officials order coronavirus closure of U.S. Postal Service facility serving millions in Colorado and Wyoming. Denver Department of Public Health and Environment issued the order Thursday, the day after investigators said they were denied full access to the facility. This is in the Colorado Sun. Denver health officials have ordered the closure of a United States Postal Service distribution center that handles all mail for Colorado and Wyoming, saying the facility has multiple confirmed cases of coronavirus among its employees. KUSA-TV reports state health officials confirmed 5 workers have tested positive for the virus at the facility that employs about 1,800 people. The Denver Department of Public Health and Environment issued the order on Thursday, the day after investigators said they were denied full access to the facility. The USPS said in a statement the closure notice did not cite any adverse findings and could affect the delivery of stimulus checks, prescription medications, personal correspondence, and other vital goods delivered to more than 6.5 million customers in Colorado and Wyoming. For more on that story, go to coloradosun.com. This is KFFR.
Used to be able to walk this far.
By request this morning on KFFR, that is The Fix with Driven Out. It's 32 minutes after 9 o'clock. Coming up in just a minute or two, we're going to be speaking with Joanna Goodman. She's been watching live concerts online and really enjoying it, so I thought we need to talk to this gal. She is a live music enthusiast like no other, and we're going to get a few tips on what to watch and how to catch some really good live music. Coming right up on KFFR.
Hi, this is Autumn Bishop. Support for KFFR comes from Autumn's Nest. New for spring, houseplants, new items for the home, upcycled furniture, and all things spring. A large selection of new local art and one-of-a-kind gift cards for most occasions. Open every day, 10 to 5, in Old Town Fraser across from Ace Hardware. Find Autumn's Nest on Instagram and Facebook.
Support for KFFR comes from the U.S. Census, reminding residents that the census ensures that we the people have accurate representation, proper funding, and can plan for the future. Every person not counted amounts to an average of $1,500 lost per year and $15,000 lost for the next 10 years. Please help your community by participating in the 2020 census.
This is Amanda from Mountain Parks Electric, your local electric cooperative. Our energy is getting greener in the Fraser Valley with the completion of the 1-megawatt Tom Cyphers solar array on County Road 5. Within 4 years, the power of our grid will be 50% renewable. If you're looking for an idea on how to put clean energy to work in your home, please visit our website at mpei.com or connect with us on social media. Mountain Parks Electric, owned by our community since 1946.
I'm Steve Skinner. This is the KFFR Corona Cast. Talking right now with Joanna Goodman, local music enthusiast and great KFFR volunteer. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
Hanging in there.
Great broadcasting you've been doing all week.
Thanks. I've really enjoyed doing it. You know, it's great to stay informed and hopefully share some of that info with our local community.
Yep.
So you've been watching some shows.
Yeah, I have. There's so many that you have to, prioritize them and choose your favorites because a lot of them are even playing at the same time. So all you have to do is really go on Facebook or Instagram, look up your favorite bands that you're missing seeing right now live. And they probably have a live performance that they're broadcasting once a week, or a lot of the bands I like seem to do something once a week. And then there's big collaborations between artists, which is really cool to watch. Those are some of the favorite ones I've seen.
So are the bands actually in the same room performing?
When it all started, each musician has been by themselves, but I've started to see some bands like Buffalo Commons is a regional band. They're out of Steamboat Springs. They're starting to play together at a remote location because it's like five people. So they still meet that, 10 people or less requirement when they gather. And so I'm starting to see the bands play together if they live nearby. Some of these band members, live all over the country, so they're still not reunited because they're not traveling.
Right, right. And so far, what's been a couple of your favorite bands that you've seen playing online?
So one of my favorite ones I've seen is a regional musician, I'll call him. His name's Michael Kirkpatrick, and he lives in Fort Collins. He does a Facebook Live every Thursday at 8 p.m. And he just has really good lighting, really good decor in his background. The sound is amazing. And he's a singer-songwriter, but also does covers as well. So that's a really fun one that I've been watching.
And is he playing just by himself with an acoustic guitar, or how's that looking?
Yep, he plays mandolin, acoustic guitar. I think he's plugged in a little.
Okay.
Like to a little amp, I think. But he's, playing mandolin or guitar, and he just has a beautiful voice. Very unique voice. So that's been one of my favorite ones. And then I've been watching the String Dusters, which is a band that they live all over the country. One member from the band, usually, I think it's about once a week as well, they get on and just play solo from their home or truck. Jeremy Garrett likes to broadcast from his truck because of the acoustics. So,
and that's the infamous String Dusters?
Yes.
I'm looking them up here, so I'm going to play one of those.
Okay.
Sure. And what else? Anything else you've been amused by that you're finding online that's not on typical cable? How about big acts? You know, like big national acts. You watching fish shows or anything like that?
I haven't been doing that. I think like a lot of the fish and some of those bigger bands have been broadcasting old shows that were never released, like pre-recorded shows at Red Rocks. I know Green Sky Bluegrass did that, and I think some other bands, but I haven't watched any of those. I like to watch the real-time stuff. One coming up on May 30th, this is kind of a cool one because there's just such a huge lineup for it. It's called Quarantine Comes Alive, and it's going to be played Saturday, May 30th from 11 a.m. till midnight. So it's basically an all-day music event. This picture shows just the bands listed in alphabetical order, but I'll name some of the bigger titles here that you might recognize. It's more bluegrassy stuff, so that they're not huge names.
Oh, if they're huge with you, that's huge enough.
Oh, Vince Herman, Chris Laws, Sun Squabby, Railroad Earth, they're pretty big.
I've heard about those guys.
Yeah, the Motet.
Oh, they're huge.
Yeah, so this, you can make a donation, and it's going to Plus One COVID-19 Relief Fund, which is like a conglomerate of all these different organizations they're raising money for, like Sweet Relief Musician, Music Cares, World Central Kitchen, and then money to local homeless shelters. So you make a donation, and then you get a link to view this all day.
Will you please remind us the name of it? It's May 30th. What'd you call it?
Yep. It's called Quarantine Comes Alive, 60-plus artists in one day. Hosted by Ari Fink, and he's like a Sirius XM radio host on, I think, like the Grateful Dead channel, or I don't know what all the channels are on Sirius, but on one of those channels that plays like Fish and Grateful Dead and music like that.
Wow.
That one looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds great. May 30th.
And then something this weekend for all our local musician fans, Gary Key, the infamous walking jukebox, is going to do one last pandemic patio party. And that's this Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think he's been in Florida this whole time during COVID. So he's been playing music out on his patio with the birds singing and, you know, all the green.
Hey, I don't want to hear about that.
Hey, our birds are back at least now.
I know. It's a beautiful day, Joanna.
Yeah, it sure is.
Anything else you want to add, Joanna Goodman, for people to look up or check out?
The other thing, I haven't watched one of these, but over in Vail, the Villar Performing Arts Center is doing a ghost light sessions is what it's called.
Yeah, what is that? I saw that online.
Yeah, it's Thursdays at 7 p.m. And I think I didn't watch it last night because I was at a book club. But what I think they're doing is bringing these regional musicians into the theater and recording them and broadcasting it.
Oh,
so
I think the
band or the members of the band are in an empty theater and they're recording it. That's how I read that. But I have to watch one of them. The next one would be Thursday, May 28th, and the band is Hard Scrabble. So again, these are regional Colorado bands.
Right on. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that data with us this morning here on the CoronaCast, Joanna Goodman.
Yeah, but pretty much if you're missing live music, just go on any of the social media platforms and look up your favorite band because they're probably broadcasting something. And it's nice to, you know, and also hear how they're going through this because that's their income is entertaining, and they're not going to be able to do that for some time, depending on, you know, group size and that stuff.
Of course, it's going to be a little different. Nobody's going to be handing you a big spleef.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to find head-enhancing substances in the parking lot. But hey, it's almost as good as going and seeing a live show. Thanks so much, Joanna. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, Steve, and keep up the good work. I love the broadcast.
I will, and I'm going to play some infamous string dusters right now. This is Freedom on KFFR.
To this cage I'm in. I don't belong anywhere I've been. I need a new song as I
trickle down from your door. I woke up this morning, my hair and them stairs were blue.
Rocks me all night long.
Ah, the beautiful sounds of Israel. And yesterday was his birthday, so there he is. White sandy beach of Hawaii. Also heard the infamous String Dusters in there with Freedom. And Statesboro Blues from the Allman Brothers. Good morning, I'm Steve Skinner. This is KFFR. You probably have heard about it already, but there is a scavenger hunt afoot here in Grand County. And one of the people involved, of course, is Autumn Bishop from High Country Autumn's Nest. She's on the line with me right now to explain. Good morning, Autumn.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Always happy to have you on the radio. You're right on the cutting edge of everything here in the business community. So got to check in with Autumn when something's going on. Talk about the virtual scavenger hunt, if you would.
Okay, well, we launched this week. And to play, you go to Grand County Strong on Facebook. That's our Facebook page. And on there, you will see 20 tours, virtual tours of businesses throughout the county, from Kremling to Winter Park, Grand Lake, everybody in between. And the way you play is this is a state-of-the-art technology that realtors use. And you basically are in the store and you look around and you find the object that you're supposed to find. And there'll be riddles. Sometimes we just tell you what the object is. It's very fun to play and you will win prizes. And we also held a art contest to have a logo design, and we have a fantastic image. It was designed by Ryan Sasso. He's out of Winter Park. He's a tattoo artist and a graphic artist, and he is also works at the resort. He's a athlete, and he did a fantastic job. You're going to want one of those t-shirts or sweatshirts, and there's a shopping link on the page for that. The proceeds of that go towards the contest and to support businesses. They go to the Granby Chamber, and you will also get extra Buku bonus points towards the contest.
What do the Buku bonus points get you?
It gets you, so throughout the contest, you can win weekly prizes, but there will be a grand prize at the end. So you register and you fill in your points tracker form and you accumulate points throughout the contest. And at the end, there's going to be great grand prizes. You also get extra points if you wear your swag and take a selfie, share your posts, all of that stuff. So you're promoting Grand County and all these great businesses, and you will be rewarded with prizes and also just feeling great about this whole effort as coming together as a county.
How neat. Now, talk about your own experience with High Country Autumn's Nest. Perhaps, I'm sure you have a virtual tour on there. What was that like to have done, and what's it look like to you?
It's incredible. It's like being in the store. I've taken videos in my store, and they don't even come close. You get in that virtual tour, and there's these little virtual circles on the ground. You kind of look down, and you go to the next circle, and then you look around. And there are probably 24 in my little shop. And so you can see almost like every little thing that's in there. You can look at individual items. And I've had people shop off of that tour and buy things from me. And then I've had tons of people say, wow, I had no idea in that little green cottage there was all that great stuff. And this is the experience that other businesses are having as well. You know, we have a large county and a lot of great places, but we don't always get to them. We don't know what's in there. And people are seeing it and going, oh, I got to get over there.
I never forget the first time I walked in your store. It's pretty small, really. It's like 3 rooms, but there's so much stuff in there. It's just kind of overwhelming. So to be able to take your time and browse around like that must be kind of fun.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah.
And yeah. Autumn Bishop, is there anything else you want people to know about the virtual scavenger hunt?
Just get the word out and participate. It's going to be really fun. And we just started this week. The other thing they need to know is you can start at any point. We're going to go 3 to 4 weeks, but you can go back and do tours. You may not win the weekly prize, but you will get points. So please go back and look at tours that you may have already been posted. And all of the directions are on the Facebook page, and message us if you have any questions.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks for coming on this morning, Autumn.
Yep. And 3 businesses will drop today. So go check them out. The Stock Market, Winter Park Optical, and Uller's.
Oh, they're going to drop. I love that terminology. Sounds great. You're so hip.
Okay.
All right. That was Autumn Bishop on KFFR, her store, High Country Autumn's Nest. Look for Grand County Strong on Facebook for the virtual scavenger hunt. Win prizes. Learn about what people are doing in the retail community and support your local retailers by doing that. When I come back here on KFFR, we're going to speak with Grand County County Commissioner Rich Cimino. Isley Brothers on KFFR. Winter Park, community radio for the Fraser Valley and the headwaters of the Colorado River at 88.3 FM and streaming worldwide at KFFR.org. It's 10 o'clock straight up. I'm Steve Skinner. It's the KFFR Corona Cast this morning. Checking in with our one and only Rich Cimino, Grand County County Commissioner. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Steve. How are you feeling today?
You know, I still feel pretty good. Thanks. I'm having as much fun as I possibly can with my clothes on. How about you?
Well, now I'm blushing, and you got me off guard now. But
sorry, you asked.
I have my clothes on, and I'm having a lot of fun, so I think we're doing okay.
Okay, good. What's up, man? I heard you had breaking news for us.
I do, you know, and you and I typically try to talk about the restrictions and the coronavirus and what's going on, but I've got two pieces of news I'd like to try to cover today, and as well as the coronavirus stuff.
Okay.
The first thing, it's just an email I got today at 9:33 a.m. Unless someone hacked into the account, I think it's real. This is an email. The county treasurer, Christina Whitmer, emailed the three county commissioners and CC'd our manager and announced that she's going to be retiring effective July 2nd this year.
Wow.
She's the treasurer, and that's a very important county job. And her term was supposed to go till 2023. You know, the election for her position would be November of 2022. So she still has, like, you know, 2 years left, two and a half years left. And so she's been at Treasure a long time, though. And I truly believe and know she's served very well. So she served over 30 years. And it's going to be really, really, really interesting to find a new treasurer.
How do you do that? What's the process for replacing someone that still has a couple years on their term?
I'm frantically getting in front of statutes to find out.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the commissioners just appoint. In the case of a commissioner retiring or resigning, I know then that the county party, Republican or Democrat, typically, they fill the seat with a vacancy committee if it was a Democrat that resigned or a Republican that resigns. Back when James Newberry, Democrat commissioner, back in 2015, resigned, the Democrats in Grand County got together and had a vacancy committee and appointed Jane Tolette to finish his term till the next election. And that was the election I won. So, yeah, I think commissioners are replaced via vacancy committee to party, but I think the county clerk, the county surveyor, the county assessor, the county treasurer, the county sheriff, even might be a commissioner appointed to replace them. But we'll do our research, and if I have that wrong, I apologize to your audience. But
you can let us know. We'll give you some elbow room to figure that one out.
Yeah, we'll be having a new treasurer that we should do our, you know, we've got to get our work done and be ready to go with the new person by July 2nd. And then I think that person will have to be facing re-election in November this year and then again in 2022, because that's the normal 4-year election cycle for the treasurer position.
Interesting. What else you got for us?
Well, yeah, I just, I'm on a Zoom call right now. I'm listening. It started at 9:30, but I took a break to take this interview with you. And the legislature for Colorado is about to go back into session on Tuesday, May 26th, next week. They're going to sit for 3 weeks. It's really interesting, Steve. They're going to use the audience gallery so all the legislators spread out and have good social distancing. And it's going to be really weird. They'll be together for 3 weeks, rushing maybe 50 bills through. That's about all they could do. And then they'll take a break and see what the governor does. If he vetoes a few bills, they want to see if they could override him. And one of the things the legislature is going to try to do is repeal what's called the Gallagher Amendment.
No.
Yeah, sir. So what is Gallagher? The Gallagher Amendment was put in place by Representative Gallagher back, gosh, I think it was in the 80s. And it says that, you know, commercial property taxes in the state relative to all other types of properties, agricultural, residential is a big one. The commercial has to be 55% of the value. And so what happens, Steve, if commercial values go down, they still have to account for 55%. So to make that happen, all the other types of property classifications go down. And so it's kind of nice for property owners, like residential homeowners, have very low property taxes in Colorado, because we were at 21% when Gallagher first passed.
Yeah.
21% was taxed, and now only 7.15% is taxed. And this is a crisis right now. I'm going to get a little bit wonky with you if I can. But
please, go ahead.
Because of corona crisis, the residential assessment index is done every 2 years, and it's done in the first 18 months of those 2 years. And that 18 months ended in January of this year. So all the sales that happened in the 18 months prior to January 2020 are factored for the residential value. Those are going to be quite high. That was before coronavirus. That was values of property has been rising and rising. And so that's really high. Commercial is done in a different cycle, where the current place we're in right now is going to be included in that calculation. And so with stores closed, with businesses down, with everyone staying at home, commercial value is determined by sales and by business revenue, not just property value. So that the commercial valuation is going to be way, way down. The guesses right now is that we might see the residential rate go from 7.15 down to 5.1, which would be a huge drop. And that's how school districts get their money, Steve. That's how fire districts get their money. That's how the rec district gets its money for the Fraser Valley Rec Center.
Right.
The county gets property taxes. Basically, all tax revenue will go down a bunch if the legislature doesn't get this done. And so I just want to describe that. That's because it's going to happen next week. And if we talk again, I'll let you know how the bill's doing. And if the legislature passes it, it's going to be a question that'll go on the ballot for the voters to approve this November. So the first step is is get it on the ballot through the legislative vote, but then there'll be a campaign. We'll see how it goes in Grand County and the whole state, whether the voters approve that or not.
I was just reading on the Colorado Sun website this morning that they came up with a balanced budget for Colorado after slashing and slashing and slashing. So very interesting that the legislature is actually getting things done right now.
Yeah, they're working virtually mostly, but they did cut like $4 billion off their budget. Their budget's about the size of near $40 billion, so like a 10% cut. And literally, Steve, like I know the people on the Joint Budget Committee, well, a couple of them, and there's stories about how many, many breaks. They actually are meeting in a room in Denver, spaced out, of course, but just walking out of the room in tears because programs for disabled getting cut, programs for children getting cut. It's a real tough time.
Yeah, K-12 education, higher education budgets really slashed. If people want to know more about that, there's a great article this morning in ColoradoSun.com. You can go there and check it out. And I'm sure they'll be covering this Gallagher Amendment thing as well. And so we got a county treasurer retiring, Gallagher Amendment possibly being withdrawn, and Colorado balancing its budget amidst this crisis. Amazing stuff going on. I hope you have a really wonderful weekend. Rich, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'll summarize quickly, Steve. But yeah, the county has not heard back from the state on their variance to be more open prior to Memorial Day. It could happen today, but once it happens, we need about 2 hours to do another order for the county. I think our listeners need to plan on getting through Memorial Day without any more openings than we already have. We ask that our sheriff give me a personal message that personal responsibility is key. Do the right things. Keep others safe. Wash your hands. Stay apart. Let's have a safe weekend. Let's be fire safe out there if you're camping. And I thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rich. Take care now.
All right.
All right. That was Rich Cimino, Grand County County Commissioner on the KFFR CoronaCast. I'm Steve Skinner. Thanks for joining me this morning on the KFFR CoronaCast. Going to wrap it up today with XTC and the mayor of Simpleton.